Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis, and this is episode 61, season 3. Today's date is September 21st, 2021. We have an interesting show coming up. I'm glad you could join me. Right now, we're going to go into a little break, and I'm going to play the introduction of The Funny Company, that cartoon series that debuted in 1963, and it was shown frequently on Garfield, Goose, and Friends on WGN TV Channel 9. So here we go.
We have a company that you can join for free, and kids in every neighborhood belong. It's the Funny Company, cause it's just for fun, you see. So come a running when you hear our song.
Come to order, come to order,
says the president. And when the Funny Company meets, here's just what we present.
Things to see
and things to do.
Stories,
fun,
toys,
all sorts of things of interest. It's fun for girls and boys.
Okay, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that little song from The Funny Company. I talked about the Funny Company on a previous podcast episode. You can find them on, of course, my podcast. If you subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and also you can find them on my YouTube channel, which is under Vanished Chicagoland Stories. I upload them every time I record a podcast. So if you can find it, it'd be easy. Like I said, it'd be easy to find. If not, you can send me a message and ask any questions. I'd be happy to help you. Okay. Today we're going to talk about three things. The first thing I'm going to talk about is wacky packages. Anyone who grew up in the 70s would remember these fondly. They were collectible cards, trading cards. They were more popular than baseball cards that the Topps company made. And I wrote a story about my memories of wacky packages, and it was published on my blog, vanishedchicagoland.blog, on June 19th, 2019. If you go to my blog and go down to the bottom, and there's a search box, and type in wacky packages, you will see the story. I'm sorry, the story will come up, and then you can read it. I hope you enjoy it. So, I'll talk about a little bit of history of wacky packages. They began in 1967, and there weren't that many. Those are very collectible, and they were there from 67, then 69, and then they returned in 1973, and then it took. They were released widespread, and the popularity just took off. They had some wonderful cartoonists and comic artists that drew the cartoons on the cards. For example, there was Kim Deitch, George Evans, Drew Friedman, Bill Griffith, Jane Lynch, Norman Saunders, Art Spiegelman, Bob Stewart, and Tom Sutton. And they were spoofed by well-known brands you saw in the store, in your grocery stores. Famous, logos and brands that, you went shopping with your mother or yourself. And the funny things about the two of the cards were pulled from the, production when they were released in 67. One was Cracked Animals. I think it was the, Animal Crackers, and Rats Crackers, which was Ritz Crackers. And then they had Moron Salt, which was Morton Salt, and it was replaced by the Jolly Mean Giant, not the Jolly Green Giant. And they had Good and Empty, based on the candy Good and Plenty, and then there were two of them that were not released as cards. One was Maxwell Hearst Coffee, which was Maxwell House Coffee, and Marlboro Cigarettes, which, of course, were Marlboro Cigarettes. Okay. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of my, about me collecting them, or how I notice it. When I was in grammar school, a Kyrgios elementary school, which was a Greek school. I learned Greek and, of course, English. It was a private school. I was on the school bus, and I noticed a kid. He had stickers on his notebook binder and on his book, and it caught my eye. And my God, I had to get that. You know, when I see something colorful or very intrigued by seeing this, I have to have it. So luckily, I asked the kid, where did you get them? And I said, I got them at the drugstore, and they're out. So you go to the counter, and they had them on display. And I said, okay. So the first time I saw them was I lived at Roseland at the time in the early 70s, and we lived on Michigan Avenue. And there was a Kresge's Five a Dime store right next to Gately's People store. And I did see them. And I asked my mother, can I buy them? And reluctantly, she did. She thought it was the ugliest thing she ever saw. Anything that's unusual to her, it's ugly. And okay, so she bought a couple packs, and I opened them up, and oh, they were so cool, you know. And they came with a piece of bubble gum, which I love bubble gum. And the ones I remember were, on the top of my head, was Quaker Oats from Quaker Oats. There was Koduck, which was Kodak. So I'll read a few things. I have a checklist that's on the story on my blog, and there was I'll read some that you might remember. There was J-Lo Desert, which was Jello Dessert. Gadzooka Gum, which is Bazooka. Six Up, which was Seven Up. Weekies Breakfast Cereal, which is Wheaties. Crust Toothpaste, which was Crest. Grave Train, which was Gravy Train, the dog food. Mrs. Clean, which was Mr. Clean. Minute Lice, which was Minute Rice. So terrible. Skimpy Peanut Butter, Skippy, of course. Horrid Deodorant, which was Arid Deodorant. I don't know, I haven't seen Arid in a while. I don't know if it's still around. I have to go to visit a drugstore. There was Lipton Soup, which was Lipton. Fink Beverage was a drink called Wink that came out in the late 60s and early 70s. It was Wink, so they called it Fink. And Cover Ghoul, which was Cover Girl. Vicejoy Cigarettes was from the cigarettes, Viceroy. Hostage Cake was Hostage Cakes, which was Hostess Cakes. And Kool-Aid, which was from Kool-Aid. And Tide Detergent, which sounds the same. It's like a homonym, but it's spelled T-I-E-D, not T-I-D-E. And there was Mutz Juice, which was Mutz Apple Juice, and Band-Aid Strips, which was Band-Aid. Okay. So anyway, I started collecting them, you know, during when I was growing up from the 70s, and I stopped about 1977. And I had about, there was about, I think, 16 series of them, I believe. And I had about married up to the eighth, and then I stopped because I guess I went to Bogan High School in 1977. I lost interest, you know, and I stopped collecting them. But as the cards went, I think I threw them out. You know, I probably did, or my mother did. I don't remember. And they become very collectible. And then in 1985, they released a limited series, and also in 1991, and you know, I didn't notice those, you know, didn't pay attention. And then they returned in 2004 with a new set of cards. They're still releasing, you know, but they're not as memorable as the first series. You know, it's not as, like I said before, not as memorable. One day I was in San Diego attending the Comic-Con convention, which they have every year. I was browsing and walking around, and I noticed there was a guy. He written a book about the wacky packages. When I saw that book, I immediately bought it. I couldn't help it, and it listed all the stickers, even from the ones that were not released, you know, from 1967, 1969, and it's a beautiful book. And they showed the posters. Also, when you collect the cards, they had a jigsaw puzzle in the back. So when you collect them, you put them together, and they come out as one of the Wacky Packages sticker. And before I mention this, because when the new series were released, they didn't include the bubblegum in. I don't know why. I guess I know it because it's bad for your teeth. And so I bought the book at Comic-Con, and I still have it. I still read it once in a while, and it's wonderful. So they've been from the original series from 1973 to 77. They've been reissued over the years, and but if you have the original ones, they're collectible items. Excuse me. So you would enjoy that, and so they released some posters. I never bought one, but they're very cool. Yeah, it's fun. So they're releasing types of series, various series of those, like for Halloween, old school comics. You know, there was a comic book series. They released that. I haven't seen it. I gotta check it out. And so they released all kinds of merchandise: T-shirts, art books, calendars, anything you want. It's great. It's so funny to look at that, and I'm sure a lot of people remember it. Okay. Next thing I'm going to talk about is, this month in September, I'm celebrating Bozo Circus Month. The one last thing I haven't done is write a story on my blog about my memories of Bozo Circus. I will do that this week. Gather my thoughts and write it on my computer and have it published on my blogs and share it on my social media counts. So that would be coming up probably the end of the week or this weekend, time permitted, of course. Anyway, for Bozo Circus Month, I'm going to talk about Don Sandberg, who was well known as Sandy the Clown or Sandy the Tramp. And he started when Bozo Circus debuted on September 11th, 1961. The guy who played Bozo was Bob Bell. He knew Bob Bell before he became Bozo because they worked together in Cincinnati and at a radio station or TV station. And he was a writer of the show as well. His character was mute. He did not speak on the show. He was like Charlie Chaplin or trying to think of other mute comedians. Excuse me. And then he wrote material for a show called Breakfast with Bugs Bunny, but Ray Rayner did not host it. It was Dick Coughlin, and then Ray Rayner took over the host later on. Oh, and another mute comedian he based on was Harpo Marx, which he's my favorite Marx Brothers. I love him. Second is Groucho, and because he never spoke, his character never spoke. Eventually, Don Sandberg became the producer, and he was somewhat responsible for the creation of the grand prize game. I don't know where he got the idea. Probably somewhere at a birthday party or some other show, and they tried it. I don't know if the grand prize game was in the first show. I mentioned on a previous podcast that Bozo the Clown was not featured because of some management decision. It's kind of bizarre. I discussed that in a previous podcast. But Bozo the Clown appeared in human form on the second episode. Anyway, then 1965, they added Larry Harmon, who was the creator of Bozo, added Sandy and Ray Rayner's to the Bozo Clown coloring books. And he also appeared in local McDonald ads as Ronald McDonald. Interesting. I wish I'd seen that. He left the show in 1969, Bozo Circus. But he came back periodically. He did during the 70s. And he left for L.A. And Then he got him, Fred Silverman, he was a famous programming executive, got him a job as the producer of the Banana Splits, which we, you know, it featured Flegel, Bingo, Drooper, and Snork. I'm just going by the song. And that show ran for two seasons. And Banana Splits, I never saw it originally, but I saw the reruns and they were edited. So the show featured those guys doing all kinds of skits. It was like a parody of Rowan and Martin's Laughing. And they played music, just like in The Monkees. They did that. And beginning of the shows, they were filmed, they were in amusement parks. One amusement park, they were at Six Flags Great America in Arlington, Texas. And the second one was at the Coney Island Amusement Park in Cincinnati. So the Banana Splits, I remember, it's famous for their shows and cartoons. There was Danger Island with Chaco. Oh, that's hilarious. That featured Jan Michael Vincent in his earlier roles. And for example, the cartoons, there was the Arabian Nights, the Three Musketeers, and they showed some Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I think it was Adamant, Squiddly Diddly. Those were premiered before in the 60s, but they added it to the syndication. And I used to watch this every day when I came home from school. I love that show. And the theme song, You Can't Get It Out of Your Head. Anyway, so after the Banana Splits was canceled, he went to work for New Zoo Review. Now, that was a show that I remember was shown on Channel 32 in the mornings, 11:30. And give you a little history of that. That started from 72 to 77. It was in syndication, and the hosts were named Doug and Emmy Joe, and they were married in real life. Those were the live humans, and the puppets were and there was Freddie the Frog, Henrietta Hippo, and Charlie the Owl. And it was a fun show. And then they showed reruns during the, you know, during the 70s and 80s and in syndication. And there is a clip of, it's uncensored, involves Freddie and Charlie L, and they were involved in a very dirty scene. I want to go into that, but it's been circling on the internet for years. You know, that puts a whole new perspective of children's television. Oh, well, so Don Sandberg worked as a producer there. And after that, I don't know what else he did. I guess he retired. And then he worked at Marineland. Then he went to the Virgin Islands. He produced shows. And then sometimes he had Marshall Brodeen. He was there. He performed Magic and also Wizzo the Wizard. From the Stone of Zanzibar. And then he returned to play Sandy the Tramp on Bozo's 25th anniversary show. That was in 1986. And sometimes he came back when Roy Brown, who played Cookie the Cook, went sick. And so he filled in for a few times. And then he did appear on the final Bozo episode on July 14, 2001. So he was there, and that's good. I think Cookie the Clown was... No, Cookie the Clown died. He died a few months earlier. So, and his costume is at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in downtown Chicago. If you're in downtown and visit the museum, they're there. And then he retired and moved to Oregon, and then he died in October 16, 2018. He was 87, and he had Alzheimer's, which was very sad. So he was the last original cast member of Bozo that passed away, and they're all gone now. And it's sad. You know, he was a very talented man, and he made kids laugh and made kids and parents feel good. You know, very great entertainment. Okay. Next thing I will talk about is something unusual. It's the Chicago American newspaper. I don't know much about it, but I remember when I was growing up, there were mentions about it. I've seen pictures. And it was an afternoon newspaper. And it ceased publication in 1974, but it was named, it had other names before. So the first edition came out on July 4th, 1900. And it was called Hearst Chicago American, which was based on the famous publisher, William Randolph Hearst, who was famous, whose life is based on the famous 1941 movie Citizen Kane, which is one of the greatest movies of all time. When I was little, I thought it was boring, but when you get older, it's a fascinating film. It's wonderful. You know, it was well made by Orson Welles, so, and he starred in it. So its famous line is Rosebud. So check it out. You can get it on DVD or shown on TCM frequently. You can watch that. Anyway, and then after 1918, it was controlled by gangsters. Oh, boy. And one famous gangster was Bugs Moran. And then the newspaper joined in 1932, and then there was pressure from other lenders from the newspaper. They pressured William Randolph Hearst, and he consolidated the Chicago American with the Herald Examiner in 1939. And it became the Chicago Herald American until 1953, and then it became the Chicago American newspaper, and then it was bought by the Chicago Tribune, and then it was renamed again in 1959 as the Chicago American. What are the interesting thing about the Chicago American? I've noticed ever since I started my Facebook page, Van Chicagoland, is they had the TV guides in there, and they had the most beautiful colors, beautiful covers, color, mostly black and white. And the TV magazine was called TV Roundup, and they're very hard to find. And you can find them on eBay. And I've collected a few of those and posted it on my other Facebook page called Vintage Chicago TV Guides. And I still see some new ones I haven't seen. I still keep them and then post them on my Facebook page, also Van Chicagoland. And like if someone passed away, I would do a tribute to them, and I would show they were featured on a cover. And that went on until, in the afternoon until 1969. And then it converted into the Chicago Today newspaper. And that went on for a few years. And then the last issue was published September 13, 1974. And the Chicago Tribune got many of the writers and staff from that newspaper, and then it became a 24-hour operation. And this newspaper had a very interesting history. So it didn't have subscriptions, and they got their sales based on newspaper stands where people were hawking the newspapers on corners in the Chicago Loop. And, extra, they were doing that. Their competition was Chicago Daily News. That's another newspaper that went out of business. I'll talk about that in another episode. And so it was a very interesting, that was an interesting newspaper that was published during, during all those years in Chicago. And the headquarters of Chicago American was located at 326 West Madison Street. And then in 1961, they moved next to the Tribune Tower. And then they would remain there until the demise of the Chicago Today newspaper in 1974. So now the Chicago Tribune is not in the Tribune Tower anymore. They converted to condos. They moved elsewhere. That's just sad, because I've been interviewed on WGN Radio. I've been to the Tribune Tower. It's a gorgeous building. Oh, it's beautiful. I love that architecture. Okay. So that'll be all for today. I'm glad you can join me. It's a very interesting show. I will do another podcast episode this weekend. Maybe Saturday, Sunday. I don't know which day. It depends on my schedule. So we still celebrating Bozo's Circus Month in September. I will, like I said previously, I will write a story on my blog and share my memories. That will be coming up soon. So this is episode 61, season 3 of Vanishing Chicagoland Stories. I'm your host, Pete Castanis. Thank you for joining me. And so take care, everybody, and bye-bye for now. And here is Ray Rayner saying bye-bye for now. So long, everyone.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.